We started recording. There's an issue there when we talk about him getting the idea that he can say no, that he can say no. I agree with you. That's incredibly important. But we've got a lot of new people on this month, this year.
Yeah.
So I just want to clarify that, yes, it's important for the horse to know that he can say no, but that's not what we're promoting.
Mm.
We're actually promoting and using our feel so that he says yes all the time.
Yeah.
And it's not using our feel against him to make him say yes like I would have done in my old natural horsemanship days. But, you know, that's that sense of, you know, if I back off now and if I ask now, he's going to be able to say yes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you're right. He's never been able to say no before. So being able to say no is enormous, but it's not something you want to promote. So just that.
No,
that
but there has to be, you see, you've got a bit of a knife edge, in my view, because...
That's why your sense of feel is so such a big deal.
Yeah, because you need to push the horse enough that he starts to realise that, you know, there's a need to overcome a particular fear. But if you push too hard, we go into the oh shit zone and we get lots of no. And what I'm going to be doing with the block...
Or even worse, you push into the oh shit zone and don't get no, and that's when you're in even deeper shit.
So with this problem with the block, that he knows that it's all to do with mounting and riding and stuff like that, there is the alternative of I've got quite a lot of blocks, and we then have a game where... we go to a block, I stand on it, and I get off, and we go to another block, and I stand on it, and we get, you know. So you turn it then into something a bit more interesting than, oh dear, that's that thing, and I don't like it.
Yep.
You know, some of this needs to be creative. So, yes, the sensitivity required in order to do a bit of a push. I mean, you know, on occasion I get it wrong and go, oh dear, and then have to apologise.
Hey, listen, if Frederic Pignon can get it wrong, hey, I'm okay with getting it wrong.
I'll give you a for instance, putting his foot in the boot to soak it with the cider vinegar. The first time it went okay, the second time it went really wrong, and I should have noticed that when I picked the foot up, I thought, oh, the crack has actually closed up a bit and I should have left it and not done anything. No, I've got to do this job. And so we had rather performance about it, and I'm going to have to think about doing it a little bit differently, you know, in order to deal with the thrush and stuff. But it's, yeah, that's life. He did get, oh, and the other thing. When he gets really upset, one of the things I think that happens is because fear sits in the kidneys, he needs to pee. And because I've got both of them tied up, I didn't notice he was dancing around. And then he started peeing on the hard surface. And I let him go and really, really apologised because I thought, oh, bloody hell. You know, I've really gotten that one wrong. But, yeah, it's, you know, the learning thing.
Yep. Hey, listen, we've got... other people have come in now that weren't on when we first started to talk. So good morning to... Oh, hang on. I better open back up again. Good morning, June. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How are you? Good afternoon.
Oh, yes. Good afternoon. And Lauren's in. Good morning, Lauren. How are you?
I am good, thank you.
That's lovely. And Sue's in from Alberton. Good morning, Sue. It seems so long since I've heard your voice.
Hi.
Oriana.
Yeah.
I've just got a... I've, well, we'll get on with the lesson because we're like 9 minutes past seven at the moment. But I've just got to share Oriana's brag that she was doing before, that she was telling me about before the rest of you came on. She just did a clinic with Mary Wanless on a borrowed horse.
And 3 days, by the way.
Ew. And she was the only person Mary didn't have to correct her riding position. Ah, isn't she a clever girl? Just a... a validation of our magnetic backside, our magnetic butt. Okay, who have we got on webcast? Ah, Carolyn's in from Portugal. Good morning, Carolyn. Good morning, gorgeous lady. Okay, let's go to the video. So you'll see on your lesson link there'll be hit the link and bring up the video and pause it. Okay, so the first time we listen to it, we're going to listen to it with the sound as well. And then after that, we're going to mute it and analyze it and feel into it and really, really get clear on what's happening. So if we all hit the play button, let me just go to interactive for a minute. So I've got you all opened up. So everybody hit the play button together now.
There's two very big deals to pay attention to in this.
Okay, let me listen to it. I should have done it at the same time. Stop again. Sorry about that. Because I need to have it be in the same timing, and I was on the other screen. Slide the little red button back to the beginning and hit start.
There's two very big deal things.
Okay, I'm going to turn my sound off so you don't get the double whammy of mine and yours. Catherine's my feet trimmer. It was such a joy to have her in the clinic. Look at the back on that horse. I love her big sigh there. Okay, hit the pause button before it goes off to somewhere else. Oops. Pause. Now, what I want you to do now is feel into your own body. Pay gentle attention to your outward breath. We'll have a lot of new people on the recording, so I'll actually go through the whole different ways of feeling inside your body. Paying gentle attention to the way that the outer part of your ribs just squashes that last little bit of breath. And feel for your heartbeat. And if you can't quite feel your heartbeat, then just imagine that you can. One of these ways of becoming aware of what's inside your body will work better for you than others. For some people, all of them will work. But we're all unique, so one will work better than others. Feel for any energy moving through your body, prickles in your hands and feet, or the flow of energy in your body. And smile, because trying too hard is the biggest thing that gets in the road of any of this work. So smile and just allow things to happen as I'm talking. It doesn't matter if one of these doesn't work for you. For most people, one of these doesn't work for them, or more. Everybody's got unique ways of feeling inside themselves. So notice how the smile kind of, how a little smile makes it easier. So any emotions that come through while you're in this space, just allow them to flow too. Just observing them. Being gently aware of them is perhaps a better way of explaining that. And then allow any thoughts and ideas that come to your mind to just flow, and just be gently aware of those thoughts and ideas and what feelings the thoughts and ideas bring up. There's always gold at the bottom of any thoughts and ideas. Okay, so now allow your attention to expand into the rest of your body. Just be gently aware of all of what your body feels like. The movement of your ribs, the beating of your heart, the movement of energy, the flow of emotions, the flow of thoughts, just smiling gently. Okay, so For those who've done lots of seminars with me before, we've often talked about overriding. Overriding is when we push the horse further than they can go. It's interesting, Oriana, that we were talking about the yes and the no, you know, allowing a horse to say no, but actually promoting the yes. Overriding is promoting the yes, promoting the horse to say yes. It's doing things in such a way and with such a sensitivity that the horse is able to say yes. And in this absolutely stunning example from Catherine, we've got a horse who, let's see when he says no. If everybody hits the play button now. Slide it along to... just finding the... Okay, take it through to... sorry, maybe I should have been better organized for that. Take it through to 46 seconds. And when you found it 46 seconds, just leave it paused there for a second. 46 seconds is a photo. And we're just about to go into the video section. Gosh, every time I look at that photo, I just go, man, that is so beautiful. That is a horse in his comfort zone, with his back lifted up and moving freely. And it's particularly gorgeous to see at liberty. Okay. I feel like everybody's there at that 46 seconds. Now hit the start button now. So there, right there, straight away, pause and go back to the 46 seconds. If you hit the, if you put your mouse on the little red button, or for those, for Sarah and Karen on my laptop, you can slide your finger across. It's a touchscreen laptop. Take it back to 46 seconds. I didn't tell them that, and I've got the mouse in here, so that would have been a bit hard for them to do if they didn't realise it was a touchscreen laptop. Let me just open up and make sure they got that. Karen and Sarah, did you understand that that's a touchscreen laptop?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. I can hear them from the other room. I don't think we actually heard them through the speaker, but that's all right. I can hear them talking from the lounge room. Okay, so let's play that again. Hit the start button now. So you could see quite clearly that as she, I'm just sliding my little button back to the 46 seconds again. As she went to go faster, she pushed more than the horse could cope with in whatever way. Let me just gather my thoughts and explain this. On the video, I was talking to her about, was she blocking in her own body? Was she tensing up in her own body as she went into the trot? And clearly she was, because as she changed that, the I'm just trying to think of the horse's name. Roger. As she asked for the trot, clearly she did tense up in her own body, but was it her tension or his? Was this her feel telling her that he couldn't say yes? Ah, I can feel that landing. So as she went into the trot without paying attention to the tension that was in her own body, she overrode him. And I'm shaking my head here, you can't see me shaking my head. The principle of overriding applies just as clearly to liberty work and online work and in hand work and as it does to being in the saddle. Overriding is simply pushing a horse further than he can give you freely. So if you hit the start button again, she and I have a bit of a conversation around that. See, it doesn't matter whether it's her tension or his tension, when they are that connected, that tension is going to block the beauty of what they were doing. Bless his cotton socks. So in actual fact, he actually wasn't ready for the trot without her awareness of how they were going to do that together. You know, for her horse to be copying her that clearly, for them to be copying each other, mirroring each other that closely, is just so beautiful. Now, this other side is really interesting. Catherine felt it this time. Let me just turn my sound completely off. So when she put too much bend in her body, she could feel him blocking her. And so when she didn't have too much bend in her body. Okay, just pause on this for a second and let's analyze what she was doing. Go back to... two minutes and 10 seconds and just leave that paused on 2 minutes and 10 seconds. Let's analyze what she was doing and feel what she was doing as she comes around that corner. I'm going to get you to hit play again, but just wait for a second and I'll give you all a hit play now. So we're on 2 minutes and 10 seconds and hit the play button now. So as she's bending her body, she's feeling in her body that he can't, that she can't bend anymore, and she can feel him disconnect if she pushes him too far. So just hit pause on that. on the screen in front of me, I've got those words, and that's when you have to micromanage to achieve your bend, and even then it's not a clean bend. When you push a horse further in a bend than they can give you, then that's when the straightness training people have to micromanage to get their result. That's when they're picking up a shoulder here and tipping a bit more of a hind quarter there, and it's not happening nicely for them at all. So Catherine noticed a little differently. She noticed that if she put too much bend in her body, that he mentally left her, that he disconnected. The meet and melt lesson in Fast Track, where we're actually doing it off the rope, Catherine was actually doing that without even realising that what she was doing. She was exactly riding the line between too much and too little bend in her body. See, if she didn't have enough bend in her body, he wouldn't have improved as she went along. Is that true? I doubt it would have happened so fast anyway. If she puts too much bend in her body as they're copying each other, he just disconnects because he can't do that. So really, if she's walking along and feeling inside her body, she's walking the line between too much bend in her body and not enough, to find exactly the right place that he can melt off it and then find those steps. So we're on 2 minutes and 41. So take your video to 2 minutes and 41 seconds. Okay, and now hit the play button. Now. So then, because she's feeling into that, there, look at him starting to... So all of a sudden his body's released some of that stress and tension of that side that was so stuck. And then he could give her more. Just go back to that again. 2 minutes and 2 minutes and 44, and hit the pause button. 2 minutes 44 seconds, and then we'll all hit the play button together again in a minute. So my point is, you can meet and melt with your posture as well as holding a rope. And the same beautiful thing that happens, you know, when you release the healing power of the universe, when there's all that beautiful energy that happens when you're in just the perfect place, was actually happening in between Roger and Catherine as they come around this corner. So, okay, we're on 2 minutes 40. I've got mine on 2 minutes 43. And all hit the play button now. And all of a sudden he can give her more. Wow. Now, she didn't trot again, but she was so busy refining the walk into something beautiful that Okay, now they're standing still. Hit the pause button again. I'm going to open up and talk about this. Who wants to put their hand up and go first? Who wants to talk about it first? Who's a straightness trainer? Nobody? Okay. Sue, I'm going to open you up, just because I know you've seen a lot of straightness training work. What were your observations as you were watching it? Because you may have seen stuff that I hadn't noticed.
Sorry, Jenny, I was muted, and when I unmuted, I didn't hear the question.
Oops, she's not there. Okay, Mary.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
What's going on here? Oh, I've got my sound off. That'll be why. Sorry about that. I'd taken the sound down on my computer to watch the video without sound, and I'm thinking, wow, that's unusual for Sue not to reply back to me. And now Mary's not talking either. It sounds very weird. I'll come back to you in a minute, Sue.
Sue was talking.
How are you, Mary?
I'm good, thank you. Sue was talking to you. We can hear Sue, but you couldn't hear Sue.
I'll go back to Sue again in a minute. So, what do you think about this extending this concept of overriding into this is exactly how you promote the yes?
Yeah. If you try and do too much, the horse is going to block you. But it's very subtle. It's very, very subtle. It's like if you, I guess I can only give you what I feel, and that is if I think what I want the horse to do, quite often they'll do it. But if I then try to actually do it with my body, sometimes they'll block you. Does that...
Okay. Is that because when you try to do it with your body, it's not your unique way of feeling?
Possibly, or maybe it's because it becomes a make rather than a ask. Because maybe I've asked for, I mean, I'm just thinking about Sierra here because she's so young and she's so green that if I sit on her back and think I want her to flex and walk forwards, the chances are she'll go with me. If she doesn't go and then I put a leg on her, then she braces on it. And it becomes a make. It becomes a make rather than a let's go together.
Yeah.
I've noticed it way more actually on the ground, which is really interesting that if I'm doing... Because I've been doing a lot of liberty with Frankie, and she's turning out to be a stunning liberty horse. But I have to be really careful not to force the issue. I have to actually just almost do it with my brain and think what I want, and then just move gently, and she'll go with me.
Okay, so here's an idea on how you might change it a little with Sierra. As you're feeling into your own body, feel for your own stuck spots. Feel for the stuck spots.
Oh, yeah, I know that's the problem. Yeah, I know exactly what the problem is. It's my hip. Yeah, when you say that, it is probably my stuck spots.
Okay, so you've got hip problems?
Yeah, it's called old age, Jenny.
Well, excuse me while I say this, but crap.
Yeah, no, it's crap.
No, I shouldn't say crap because I'm actually
in the process of
housing a whole bunch of my old age ones at the moment.
Yeah, I know you are. I've got at least 10 years on you.
We've got John, I'm not sure what John's last name is, the American guy, the American Garocha guy.
Yeah, I know you have. I know, I've seen it advertised, and I've got, I'd so like to come over, but it's this weekend, I think, isn't it, or next weekend?
Yeah, no, this weekend, yeah.
Yeah, I would love to come and watch that. Never mind. Too far.
Yeah. Steve's doing some Garocha work now, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, I'm doing it with him, yes. Yeah, I haven't done it. I have actually used my Garocha with Sierra. I did something which was probably really dangerous, but it didn't matter because she was fine. Come on, this is digressing, sorry. It's all right, forget it.
Okay, so now we'll open Sue back up. Just before I do that, take your attention inside your body. That's it. And just explore something for me the next time you're doing this with Sierra and you think it's blocking. I want you to melt off your own stuck spot. Just find that place where, just find that bend in your own body where it's still doable, but you're right on the edge.
Yep.
And see if you can get a release on your hip in the same way that Catherine got a release on a horse.
Yep. Yeah.
And then come back into the forum and tell us how that goes, because the power of that is phenomenal.
Yep.
And be open to the idea that the stuck spot in the hip may not be yours. I know we assume because of our age, we assume that it is ours, and it might well be. But just be open to the idea as you're doing it. As you're really present, you will be open to the idea anyway.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Because I have a feeling there's something a bit exciting that's possible.
Okay, that's good. Glad to hear that.
Okay. Now I'll open Sue back up. Sorry about that, Sunshine. You were talking away and I'm completely oblivious.
That's okay. Before you start, can I just pass something on to Mary, please?
Yes. Yes.
Mary, I'm getting that when you feel you're very present, when you go to do, you're losing that presence. So it's not the physical posture, it's the fact that you're having to come out of presence to think about getting into the physical posture. Make sense?
Oh, hang on, let me open here too.
Total sense, yes. Am I open?
Yes.
Yeah, you are. I knew you'd get it.
Spot on, Sue. Absolutely spot on. Yes, brilliant. Thank you.
Okay, so that's actually overriding yourself.
Yep.
Yep.
Do you get that, Mary?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yep. And I guess that's partly the desire to get it perfect and do what you want to do. It's not actually allowing the... It's the brain kicking in, isn't it? Saying this is what we want to do and we can do it. And yeah.
That's right. You're, instead of allowing, you're doing. You don't need to do.
No,
you
I don't.
Need to allow.
Yep. Cool. Thank you, Sue.
Wow. That gives me goosebumps, Mary.
Cool.
Okay, I'll close Mary back down again. Yes, Sue, was there anything in there that you wanted to bring to our attention?
No, I thought it was lovely. I think that they were doing more than mirroring each other. I think they were in harmony. I think they were as one.
Yes, it was.
So they were working total partnership.
Yeah, it was a beautiful oneness. And every now and again they'd slip out of it, but even in their slipping out of it, they were still doing oneness. Even when he disconnected, they were still so close that she was noticing easily when he disconnected and was able to just flow into the change of what she needed to do most often. It's a good opportunity to talk about this didn't happen in isolation. The things that went on before this happened were a very big part of what was going on. When Roger came to come in, he felt under pressure. I'm just trying to remember. Is there anybody on the call or webcast who was there? I don't think so. I'm just trying to remember. When he first came into the arena, there was something wrong. I'm pretty sure he couldn't go into the yard without getting all kind of hyped, and she needed to really help him through his worry about going into the yard, spending a lot of time listening, following the good feelings and using her not quite rights for change. And until he went into the yard very settled and happy. So my point is that you don't get to pull a horse out of a yard, or you don't get to, you know, go do some liberty work if everything before the liberty work had stress and tension in it. You're going to have missed out on this oneness. So it's paying attention to all the things as you go to get your horse out of the paddock and listen to all those things, because that oneness isn't just achieved just because you start doing something. It's achieved in everything that you do beforehand. And, of course, Sue, you know that spectacularly. How are your babies going at the moment?
Oh, brilliantly, but then I'm biased.
I am definitely coming up for a visit soon.
Good. It would be good to do some liberty together.
Ooh. Oh, at that clinic, I had a little brain melt. There was an Andalusian there, Karina's Andalusian mare, and something was going on one morning, and I just begged her to play with this horse for a minute. She had so much energy and so much pizzazz. And I just got in the middle of the arena and danced with her. It was just the most glorious feeling. Gives me goosebumps thinking about it. and such harmony together. Just feeling that I could sink deeper into my pelvis and have her sink deeper into hers, and that we could just twirl, you know, and then I could just spin and she's cantering around me and
lovely.
Oh, gosh it was a nice feeling. Has anybody got I'm going to open up you too, Lauren. Have I explained this clearly, Lauren? Is there a real sense now that when we feel inside our own bodies, we can feel that overriding even on the ground, even when we're not touching them.
Yes, that made perfect sense to me. And I'm coming away from this just realizing I just need to be even more conscious, especially of my own body, as I'm working with the horse, but particularly before we're going on to the next thing or the next request.
Yes, because what you saw in the video was as Catherine went to go from the walk to the trot, you saw the complete push and the no from Roger. You know, he actually kind of came to a full stop and went, look, you know, that was out of, that wasn't too good. And if she'd kept pushing, he would have disconnected. So that was one way, you know, we saw that one in the video. But the one that Mary and Sue were just talking about is brilliant too, how we can put so much pressure on ourselves that we kind of disconnect from ourselves.
Absolutely. I've actually been known to apologize to my horse and saying, I just left for a moment, didn't I? Because my brain took me somewhere else to think about something. And like, oh, I'm back. Hi.
Yeah. I wouldn't like to think that you'd make yourself too wrong about that. But noticing it is a good deal.
And this seems so, like, so in, as I say this, I'm thinking, well, duh. But I have a Tennessee Walker mare who's about to turn 13. And I've been working with her on groundwork and connection. She's very sensitive and likes to look around and be alert. And she is quite the athlete and moves fast. So I've been working even more slowly with her to have that really strong connection, because that way that connection makes us both feel safe, right? That's what creates our trust and bond, because she's not the caretaker horse and moves slowly like the other one I worked with. But she likes to please. So even my setting my intention before I go into a session with her, my intention is to have that connection and that trust and that bond. And then anything we actually do comes out of that, but there's no attachment. And so this is the part that makes me go, well, duh. So focusing on that connection, like in every moment, we've been able to do more than, I mean, it's kind of like, to use your expression, blowing my socks off, because it's like, wow, I was not only able to get on, but like we were walking around calmly in a, you know, a foreign place with all this activity going on, and it's like, wow. Building that faith on your horse is just phenomenal, and it's like, wow. And it's taken, I have to say, it's taken quite a while with her, probably mostly because of my not being quite as consistent, and it's amazing. I fall in love with her more every time I work with her, go figure.
Oh, that's gorgeous. That's really lovely. Oh, I love hearing stories like that. That's a good brag, Lauren.
Thank you. Well, you know, she's using all those tools, so it's quiet mind, feel my heart and feel her heart, and all of it.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just open June up. Okay, I've got you open, Sunshine. Was there anything in there that you wanted to bring up to talk about, or any questions? Or
well, I was last weekend, a week ago today, a friend and I went on an equine coaching session. So we had a horse who was coaching us. And the thing that really struck me about this horse was that his awareness was very sort of 360 degrees around him. And he reached out to establish a connection with the humans who were with him. But at all times, he was completely in himself. You could just see it. He was like, nothing was shaking his focus from his own body, his own self-awareness. And and so that, you know, that's, I guess, what this video is kind of showing is, you've got to, like, and what Mary was, Sue was saying to Mary, like, you have to stay in yourself before you can benefit from the connection, or you can't really establish a good connection unless you, at the same time. Oh, and it's funny because in that same session, I had this thing that was produced by the horse, which was this sense of being like really light and airy, like full of air, like buoyant, but at the same time having my feet firmly on the ground. And it's the same sort of thing. It's like the feet on the ground is like staying with yourself, but that feeling of buoyancy is like still yet being able to reach up and out and establish contact with everything around you.
Okay, tell us a bit more about this, June, because I'm wowed. Who's doing this?
Okay, well, so this is something I'm looking into for myself, and for my horses. And it's called the Equine Gestalt Coaching Method. Oh, but it's very similar to what Annika does in the Netherlands. So even though her training was different, the coaching was, the sort of feeling of the session was very similar. So basically what happens is you have a human facilitator who's trained in human psychology to some extent to facilitate the interaction between the horse and the human. But then, so the horse is then given free rein to do whatever it he or she wants with the humans that are presented to it. But the horse is known to be safe, of course. And so in this particular case, we had a 24 by 36 indoor area. It was all open. And then the horse that's his office. And, you know, he's like the Dr. Freud or whoever. And you go in, well, you start the session outside the area, and then you go in, and basically you have to just quiet down and back off and try and establish your own connection with yourself in order to figure out what the horse is doing. And then the horse sets up whatever he chooses to set up and tries to communicate. Now I'm just rambling. Okay. But yes, the horse is in charge.
Now I've got a clear picture.
Yeah. The horse is in charge, and you're free to respond however you feel and in the moment to what the horse is doing or saying.
Yeah.
So it's pretty
okay. Cool. So now I've actually seen that gestalt work. One of the gestalt people here got me to come over and do a horse handling thing a few years ago. So now I understand what you're talking about. So it's your feel, the strength of your feel, that made you so aware of the horse reaching out to you. And
yes, it's there. All you have to just tune into it. And the horse has no problem. It's the humans that take a little while to get plugged in.
Yeah. I've opened you up, Sue. Sue, put her hand up.
I think that's what I call the next step to connection, June.
Uh-huh.
You learn to make a connection, and you're wonderful with each other and your being. But then there's another step, which I call concentration within that connection, which makes you very aware of yourself and within yourself, but also with the horse, and the horse does the same thing. And that's where I go when I want to teach new things to my horse. So within the connection, we are both focused.
Uh-huh.
And we learn together. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
June. We've got that international delay thing happening. So, Sue, do you mean that you kind of escalate each other into a deeper connection for the doing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that's it. It's hard to explain, but it's different to just being connected. It's about learning together.
And a willingness to want to.
Yes. You're kind of inspiring each other.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, goosebumps. Okay, so we've got a bit of an echo going on. I'll close June down. And open up Oriana. Was there anything that you saw in that, Oriana, that Sue, let me open Sue up again.
Sorry, Jenny, hand's doing its own thing again.
That's all right. I'm going to leave you open. I was going to leave you open for a bit. Okay, Oriana, was there anything in there that particularly inspired you or landed or a question or... Okay, can't hear you. Maybe she had to step away from the mic. Step away. Let me go into the chat room and see what's going on. Yes. Mary was saying this Gestalt work is a compromise, a combination between Linda Kohanov's work and the EAL stuff. And Francis is in. Good morning, gorgeous. And Katie, you made it. Fabulous to see you here. Okay. So there's no questions in there. Okay, you there yet, Oriana? Okay, I thought I would try something. Let's come to the video and go to the... Let me just find the right place. Oh, let me just turn the sound off on that. Take your video to the 44 seconds. So I'm just feeling into that what I wanted to explore here is actually okay, and putting some energy around it to make sure that it is. So So watch the video again. I'm going to change a little bit as I feel into it. I'm going to change a bit about what I plan to do here. But as we play this video again from the 44-second mark, this time I want you to feel into your own bodies in a... much more deliberate way. Okay. Riding the fine line between we still want you to allow that gentle awareness in your own body. Okay. The energy in this clinic was just extraordinary. Hit the play button now. Aren't I lucky to have a feet trimmer this aware? So keep your sound off. Turn your sound off if you've got it on. And just have your attention inside your own bodies. Smiling a little. Noticing any energy movement in your body. Allowing the thoughts to flow. For those of you who are new, even negative thoughts have gold at the bottom of them. Or thoughts that you think of as negative. Man, doing it like this for me, I can feel this horse's joy. when he came into the clinic, one of the reasons that she brought him into the clinic is that he was bucking. They had done beautiful work in the past, but when she takes him out somewhere, he can buck like the bejesus. She did her first bridleless ride on the next day. Okay, hit the pause button. Oh, well, we've got to the end. Just going to open up into interactive again. So everybody will be open. I'll, if we get too much background noise, I'll mute it. Hang on, I'll mute June because I think that's where the echo is coming from.
That's my
hello
partner,
to whoever
sorry.
That is.
That's me. I've got to turn the hose on. I've got to go and turn the hose off. I'll be back.
Okay, I'll just turn Mary off for a minute then. So when I watched that with a different light, just sitting and feeling inside myself, I felt a very emotional joyfulness. What did everybody else feel? I know everybody doesn't want to talk at once. Robin's in from Taipei. How are you, Sunshine?
Hi. Yeah. It's 5 a.m. for me. It's so funny. I suddenly woke up at 3:30 in the morning. I put your this conference call out of my mind because I thought, well, there's no way I'll get up at 4. And I suddenly woke up at 3:30 and thought, oh, well, I'm awake and only just remembered the conference call. So I'm happy to come in at the end of it anyway. Hi, everyone. So there was a reason for me to be up. I just didn't remember it until an hour and a half later.
And Katie, that's you coming, isn't it?
Yes. So good to be back with the fan family. So exciting. I was like, oh, my gosh, I can't. I always forget the hour difference between us. And I went, wait up a second, I've got an extra one. So that was good. I even had another one, but I couldn't quite get that. But, no, it's wonderful. And that's so exciting. Just watching that video, you could see the horse. The person as well, but the horse is like, oh, isn't that wonderful? We think about ourselves and the joy we get from it ourselves, but also the horse is like, oh, it's like a release and a joy for them as well when we get that connection with them, which sounds really obvious, but we're obviously focusing on ourselves and doing our thing and getting our connection and all this, but it was like I could feel the horses like having an own little happiness going on there. It feels like, oh, yeah. It was really nice. I really liked that.
So just imagine as they escalate that within the connection. You know, as they escalate that feeling in each other.
I think I would be breaking down in joyful tears. And I mean, if that is... When that is felt on the back, oh wow, that'd be like heaven and earth combined. I think it'd just be a moment you couldn't put into words. I think it would just be absolutely in a real cementing kind of point that to move on from, and that's something that I hope to kind of move into more. So that was just beautiful to see. The horse was just enjoying it so much as well. It was like, oh, you know, and that's really the big thing, you know. I still see so much the conventional riding side and the push and the pull and all this, and you start seeing things so differently, and even things that are supposed to be good, you know, or that the horse is doing the right thing and the rider's doing the right thing, and you think they're not doing right at all. It looks nice, you know, on one level, but then when you start seeing into it on a much deeper kind of holistic level for the horse and the rider, you see with completely different eyes, and it's like it's pretty but it's ugly at the same time. So that is just beautiful all over, and I really love that. That's very special. So thank you for sharing that video of the lady as well. So yeah, I got a lot from it in a very short period of time. It's really very special.
Oh, that's very cool. And you've got your hubby home this week. So coming in this morning was a very big deal.
It was, because I realised, oh, no, I'm going to have to drive to the airport. And I was like, wait, up there an hour before. And then it was like, oh, yes, goody. Can actually do that. Because he's down there a lot now. He's had a month away, and then he's back for this week, and then another month away. So I'll be there when the house sells and someone falls in love and finds their little place here. So, yeah, but I'll be a lot closer to you, madam.
So you're going to be moving to Tasmania?
I am. Yep, so I'll be across the water from you. I'll be bugging you, I think. Cheyenne will be most happy about that, I'm sure.
That little bit of water called the Tasman Sea is quite a big blockage to travelling.
Yeah, well, don't burst my bubble, will you? Oh, it's only a little flight. How's that? but it's like, I just felt like there's so much going on at the moment. That was, and I keep coming back to over and over again, meet and melt. It always, and not just with the horses, with my life so much, you know, going on. I just meet it and melt into it, you know, just melt into it, completely surrender, accept. The control is a facade anyway. There's no such thing we like to believe in. And, you know, and just let it go. Have a bit of faith that everything is exactly how it should be. And that's the big thing with Cheyenne, of letting go of all that expectation and all that push. And it took me a long time. And every now and then it pops up and starts going, and I'm like, no, I'm not going there. This is where I'm meant to be because I'm here. This is where it is. And look at what I do have and feel really grateful for that and then build on from that, you know. So it's a longer journey than I thought for me, definitely, because I think in the conventional world it was like, you know, with dressage, you're hopping on and you're doing and you're achieving and, you know, it's very quick and kind of the results are seem to be happening and, you know, so it's a very
But is it?
Way.
But is it? Because,
well,
you
this
know,
is the thing.
I was watching an arena full of people yesterday. Doing some technically fabulous stuff, and there wasn't one single horse there with an elevated back. They all had saggy backs.
Yeah, see, this is what I'm saying, the perception of what they see as good, and this is why I keep saying that in funny words and doing, you can't see my hands going apprentices, but it's like the perception of what is good in conventional is, from our eyes, like, what the hell is that? You know, how can they think that's good? What is that? The horse looks less stressed, the rider's all taut, and it's like, that's good, yay, everyone loves it, they're beautiful. And you're like, But it's seen as results. It's seen as, in that world, as something's happening, you know. This is what's supposed to happen, and that's the picture, and they kind of achieve it through, sometimes brute force, and then AIDS, and God knows what. But you're right, it's kind of a lie, really.
This teacher's actually really sensitive, so that was much better. So it was much better than a lot of things I see. But still, we had an arena full of, with one exception, and I'm not sure that wasn't the way the saddle was sitting on his back, and I just couldn't see it. But still an arena full of horses with saggy backs, and one that frightened me. It was so saggy. I was quite worried for her, quite worried for the horse, quite worried for the human. Oriana's popped her hand up, but you're open, Oriana.
I've got a comment to make on that, because I, for the last 3 days, have been riding a borrowed horse. He does not have, in my opinion, much in the way of back muscle or much on the top line at all. And I noticed very strongly that at various points he was insisting on putting his head right down to the ground in order to stretch.
Lovely.
And it's quite difficult when you're in trot trying to do the various things that Mary wants you to do and the head is nowhere near anywhere. It's down on the ground. But I was riding him after his owner had a lesson on him, then he had Naz rest, and then I was riding him. And in my view, this horse needs work in order to get his back a lot more developed. So I did start to feel a little bit sorry for him, because obviously, in my view, we were really asking him to do a bit too much. He had his back up a couple of times, but not that often, unfortunately.
So, under what circumstances did he lift his back up?
When we did a very small circle to the right, there was another occasion when it just seemed to happen. He got his walk, his sort of natural walk was rather interesting. It was quite bouncy. But I think that was a compensation. He was probably hollow for not being able to work through his back. So what was happening is you were getting the back legs working, but kind of camped out behind. You see, Mary's very good at working on the rider. She is not good at the horse, really.
They should be together.
It's something I noticed, for instance, the one Grand Prix horse, Zalista, he is, again, in my opinion, a bit weak through the back. And so he can just about do Passage, but Piaf is atrocious. It's a step sequence. He's got too much weight on his front. He can't take the weight on his back end, so you haven't got the lift on the front that you should have. And again,
well,
I think
Piaf is supposed to be a movement full of joy, and if it's not,
yes.
it's a bit yucky.
He was doing it because he was being told to do it, and you know, there wasn't the suspension, the elevation, the as you say, the enjoyment, not there.
Okay, so just taking you back to the moments in which the horse lifted his back up and you weren't sure of why, it's comfort zone.
Yeah.
Now, that little horse, Roger, did not come in with a lifted up back, I can tell you. It develops because of the he lifted his back up more and more. The more connected they were and the more Catherine was paying attention to the stuff in her own body, the more comfort zone he went into, the more he lifted his back up. Mm-hmm. Until in the end, you know, there's a couple of shots there where, I looked at him and went, holy snapping turtles. That's, you know, for a horse to be that lifted up in the back at Liberty is just spectacular. Spectacular. So we've got to remember it's a comfort zone thing.
Yeah.
A horse in their comfort zone will lift their back up. And when they're able to, I mean, you made a good point that, you know, by the time he was doing the second hour, he was probably a little...
Well, particularly as I happen to know that his owner's saddle doesn't fit him.
Oh, bye.
He's got hollows behind the shoulder. I was using my own flat panel saddle, which he should have found more comfortable. But obviously, you know, for him, arena work is difficult. He's not got the musculature for it. And his owner says every so often he has bucking fits. And some of this is because this horse, who I remember as a 3- and 4-year-old, was joyful, playful, etc., little bit on the naughty side, but these people don't like that, and he's been squashed and sat upon. So I felt I'd got a horse that was a bit depressed and rather sad and not really enjoying life that much, because of conventional people, there's a lot of make and do it, and no sort of, you know, anything the horse does wrong, they're being naughty. It's not because, like with today, this horse, he was getting a bit bored, because it was really for my benefit rather than his. And so he went, oh, there's something I find interesting over the hedge, and poked his head up and started to, you know, I could feel the energy moving. I thought, you know, keep him busy, because otherwise I'm going to have a horse that's going to go, oh, this is frightening. For me it's a sort of safety thing, but it's this lack of joy. With my own horses, the one time in Vigilant relatively recently, both he and I got puffed out at the same time. You know, so we stopped and had a rest.
Yep.
There's Vigilant will tell me when he's had enough. I might get a bit more out of him after that, but that's it. You know, I'll say, okay, fine. And I'm used to animals that have opinions. And when you ride somebody else's horse that has had all that squashed out of them, it feels very strange.
Yeah, yeah. I see in the chat room that Lisa's there from Tasmania. Hello, Sunshine. How are you? Very pleased that you could join us today. June's talking about a tightness at the base of her neck. A tightness at base of neck on right bend released when Roger's head dropped. I'm just feeling into that. Yeah, because as their head drops and their back lifts up and their head drops, the spine's actually going to be doing releasing. The spinal bones are actually going to be releasing and moving a lot more. So Mary made a comment, something's going on in her back hip, massive releases, and she can't stop sneezing. To me, sneezing means somebody else's energy. I've got no idea if that's the case with you, Mary, or just one of the ways that you release. Hang on while I open you up.
I don't know that either.
Just be aware of that. I, because of what I do for a living, I think, I need to be more aware when I've got someone else's energy into my space. And sneezing is my physical alert that I've got to pay a bit more attention.
Okay. That's an interesting
and
thought.
It's, yeah. And you may not need it, and it may not have, it may just be a release thing for you. But that was interesting. So what happened as you were watching and just feeling into your body, your hips started releasing. Is that what I understood?
Yeah. And I could feel tension coming up and down my back. It was really quite odd. Yeah. And then I started sneezing. So yeah,
wow.
let's see what happens.
Oh, goosebumps, magic happens on our live seminar calls.
Yep.
Ooh. So. Now we've got I wonder whether Karen and Sarah can talk. Karen and Sarah, I've got the line open to you. If you talk, can we hear you?
I don't know.
Yes.
Can you hear us?
Yes, we can. Yes,
okay.
We can hear you. Now, this was completely different from anything that you've experienced with horses before, Sarah. So did the concept make sense to you, or do I need to explain a bit more when we go out to the horses today?
For me, it made very much sense, and I'm pretty impressed by the others with all the theories, because they do match to a big image, and I really learned something.
Oh, good. Sarah's a mad keen horse person from Germany who's here on Workaway at the moment, and Karen's not familiar with horses, but by crikey, she's taken to them like a duck to water in the last 2 days. So that's lovely. Okay, so I've got everybody open. Does anybody have any questions before we finish?
Hey, Jenny.
Yes?
It's Robin. So I don't have a question, but I had something popped into my mind when Katie was talking. And she used the phrase that it... I'm sorry, Katie, I'm paraphrasing. I can't remember your exact words, but it was along the lines of, it feels like a long way for her sometimes. Like, she feels like she's got a long way to go sometimes. And it was something like that. And it occurred to me that when that comes into my mind, it's because I am sort of focusing on some future goal. And in fact, the progress, if you like, is when I can be present. So it's like instead of focusing on future goal, like, oh, if I get... you know, centered enough and connect with this horse, then from now on everything will be perfect and fine, and you know, there'll be sunshine and roses, and whereas in fact it's always connecting and then connecting and then connecting and then connecting, and then like it's always in the present moment, so there can't be a sort of future goal. Does that make sense? So it can't be a long way. You sort of can't have, what am I saying? In a way, you can't have a long way to go, because that puts it in the future, that there will be some future goal and some future ideal state. Whereas, in fact, for me, that's when I hear myself using words like that, it's a reminder to me to be like, oh, no, it's always this moment. That's all I wanted to say.
Hmm. Okay, that's interesting, Katie. Did that land?
Hello?
Not sure. Yeah, it's okay. I'm not sure if Katie is still there.
Sorry, is there two Katies?
No.
Jenny? Oh, because you just said, well, that lady that just talked, I was just going, yes,
yeah, Robin.
Two, but it wasn't actually me.
Oh, cool.
No, but I was really getting what she was saying, so it was like me. I was going, yeah, that's exactly what, yes, I need to do the yoga.
Yeah,
okay.
So
and I'm going,
you,
yeah,
not
then
like
you. Something crazy. I'm like, wait up a second. So I don't know who that gorgeous speaker was, but I could really get what she was talking about.
That's Robin from Taipei.
Oh, right. Okay. So were you actually talking to me then, Jenny, or was that a mistake? Sorry, I missed it.
No, that was to you. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Say it again then. I thought you got mixed up with me. What did you say?
I asked you if that landed, if what Robin said landed.
Oh, you were directing it at me. Thank you. Yes, because that's why I felt it. It was like, oh, God. Okay. That's so true. I want to write down what she said. I was going, wait up a second. That's for me. It's like, yes, about future goals and bringing it back to now. And that's continuously what I've been doing always. And that's... I know it's not right, but the way she put it was just so poetic, and it was like hit home. So I wanted to thank her for that, bringing it back to the now. And it's always ongoing. That was the other thing, yes, that she put out, because it seems like, oh, got it, great, everything's wonderful. And then that's setting up for big disappointments, isn't it? Because it continues. So, yes, thank you. That
okay.
was really good.
There's somebody used the expression earlier today about the fine line. The fine line is...
Yeah.
That when we are present, we can see the flow into the future. There is no problem with looking at the future. That's not a problem.
Yes.
We're present, we feel the influence of the past on the now and the way that flows into the future.
Yes.
And it's all kind of at the same time. So there's this fine line between... allowing that knowing of the future to flow. Oh gosh, I've got goosebumps. This is a very big deal for I'm not sure if it's you or for someone else. So don't make the future, you know, don't make a future goal a not okay thing, because it is okay. But your fine line that you're walking is feeling so present that the future just, the knowing of the future just flows.
Yes. Yes. Instead of being an anxiety or an angst, it's actually just part of the whole process.
Yeah.
And the now
yes.
a lot more peace.
Yes, it's the fear.
Yeah.
You're right. It's the fear
yes.
that's the problem, not the...
Mm.
It's the fear that's the problem, or the push that's the problem. One of those, one of those two things, and the pushing actually comes from fear anyway. Robin, you were trying to say something then.
Oh, thanks, Jen. So So just the way you expressed it also really landed for me, and so that's a really nice expression. Just to for my mind to sort of hold on to, like, the fine line, like, that really brought it home for me. But, and also, is that then Katie's comment was followed up by Ariana's comment, I beg your pardon, Ariana's comment about her, you know, a physical thing happening in the horse she was with. And I wonder, I really hesitate to say this, but because I've joined the conversation late and because I don't know as much about horses, but I do wonder if the same applies to working with a horse with a particular physical thing that you notice, if it's a hollow back or if it's, you know, whatever it is, that because in the present things are always changing, so it might, a physical symptom might improve and then it might regress and then it might improve a bit and the improvement might stick or it might fall back again. And so I wonder if it seems to me like it sort of applies to that sort of thing too. A particular behavior, a particular physical symptom in a horse, that same thing of coming back to what is happening right now for the horse, rather than, oh, we're going to fix
well,
this and it's going
kind,
to be like
kind
this.
Of
Does that make sense?
You're nailing it. The answer to everything is to be present. Because the more present we are, and being present, you know, has many layers in it.
Yes.
The more present we are, the more easily we understand what's happening right now, and what's happening right now and the influence of the past on what's happening right now and the way it flows into the future of what's happening right now. So,
I guess
it doesn't matter
Right. That it might look like they're regressing, or it might look like, oh, but this, I thought this problem was solved, but it's not solved. But it's like it's all just the changing view of the present moment.
Our thing is to notice when we're not present.
And
that's
a
shortcut.
You know, I also had this silly thing happening with, I don't know if anyone else, this applies to anyone else, but I'll share it, although I'm sort of a bit shamefaced about it, but maybe this happens with other people too. I was with some horses just last month, and with this one particular horse, and I was like really trying to connect really intensely, like I'm really getting present, I'm really feeling my feet, I'm really feeling them, you know, like... like trying too hard is what I'm saying. And I was like really trying to connect with this horse and really trying to be clear and really, really, really trying. And then I, you know, really trying to sort of get this message across to this horse. And I wasn't doing anything, you know, with the horse. I was just standing with the horse, you know, in a field with no other agenda except really trying to connect. And then I walked away and I sort of got back to the house. And I realized what I was doing, which was sort of like, you know, imagine somebody shouting to another person. And, of course, I can't possibly hear what the horse might be trying to say to me because I'm so busy saying, oh, I'm really going to connect with you. I'm really going to listen to you. I'm really listening. I'm really listening. I'm really listening. Of course, didn't shut up long enough to hear a thing. So.
And, you know, that's a great note. That's actually a great note to finish our seminar on, because trying too hard is the single biggest thing that gets in the road. And when we keep the smile on our face, in fact, let's all finish up the seminar this morning. Take your attention inside yourself, just that gentle awareness of what's going on inside your body. And now I want you to put a big smile on your face and notice the difference. Even a fake smile. Yeah, yeah, it changes what happens. And Oriana, I'm just going to open everybody up for a minute to say goodbye. Mary Wanless is big on smiling, isn't she?
I have.
If I remember rightly.
I have not noticed.
Oh, okay.
No.
Back in
she's
her
just
old,
come back
in
from
her
a
old
big
book.
In the USA. She's extremely tired. She's very focused. Two of the people she was teaching are mentally retarded and physically challenged, and she did well with both of them. And you get very few top class teachers that will even consider teaching people like that.
Oh, good on her.
So, yeah, but very focused, very tired, and you know, no, there was not really emphasis on smiling at all. It was all technical and work.
Yeah. Oh, that's
apart
a bit sad, because I remember some of her earlier books, there was a lot of emphasis on smiling eyes.
Yeah, you're right.
In her earlier work.
Yeah, it's become a lot more scientific, technical, probably in a lot of ways higher level. And as a result, possibly. You see, the trouble is a lot of what she teaches is much more relevant to people doing dressage and competition dressage, and much less relevant in some ways to ordinary riders. Because partly she does not address the horse's emotion or the physical capabilities of the horse, I think.
Yeah, lots of people don't. I like the way that I do both. But okay, so I want to leave everybody with the smiling thing. So all of you take your attention back into inner awareness, back into being gently aware of what the inside of your body is. And now smile. And appreciate the difference that a smile makes to the way the inside of our body feels. Oh, I can actually feel bones shifting in someone. Gosh, lots of love to everybody. And Catherine is in the process of signing up, doing her registration for Fast Track. She's got it, but she hasn't actually done the registration yet. So she'll get to see this. So she'll get to hear this seminar later. And an enormous thank you, and appreciation of Catherine being happy to share that video. And, well, why wouldn't she? I mean, it's a wonderful brag, really, when you think about it. Okay, lots of love to everybody. Bye. See you next month.
Bye, Jenny.
Bye, Jenny.
Bye,
everybody.
Bye, everyone.
By the way,
I think this is the highest level stuff you can do, by the way. Love to all.
Woohoo.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye.